This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. In the latter part of 2013, more than a year and a half ago, Trevor Cheung was here in the studio. This Hong Kong-born but New York-based guitarist is back in town. And tonight, he'll be playing at No Black Tie. In fact, he was just at the Johor Jazz Festival. Beyond talking about the festival and about jazz music, we would like to get him to throw light on how the role of the guitar has changed in jazz. But if you want to know more about this classical piano-trained musician who has turned jazz guitarist, you can download the podcast of the earlier show.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm always interested to find out from musicians, how do you stay on top of your game? You were a classical pianist.
Sort of.
They train, they practice, play the scales every day. Do guitarists do the same thing?
Well, of course, we have to, you know, every day we try to do as much of the routine as possible. It's not so much a routine, but it really just, you know,
you have to
go
practice.
Back to the foundation, work on the very basic stuff all the time. You know, we have to keep our certain physical ability to play the instrument.
Keep your fingers kind of dexterous. Is it the dexterity there?
Right, exactly. That's something that we should do. We want to do every day. But besides that, there's also a part of us that we have to be exposed to inspirations around. It could be anything, you know.
What do you do to get inspired? What do you do to stay, like I say, stay on top of the game? Because this whole notion of being creative is quite nebulous, quite difficult for a lot of us to grasp.
We cannot control, but we can try to put ourselves in situations that we are inspired, such as, the best thing for a musician to do would be to play with musician that you really admire, but that doesn't happen all the time. So you can also, go listen to music, you can go see them live, and there's so many things you can do too, more than just staying home. I would even go to a museum and just to check out something that excites me, or, anything, life, being inspired by life, basically.
So when you're not playing music, what do you do?
You know, I would go to see my peers playing. Yeah, we go to check out different music, good music. And, sometimes I would just go to see different things, exhibition or anything, or meeting interesting people,
Do musicians sit down to talk about the music, how you're playing, how I'm playing, and learn techniques and skills from each other?
Some musicians do it, some not. I'm slightly to the not side, I tend to leave it to myself. I find it's kind of geeky if I just keep talking about music with people. But there are certain times when I meet people that I'm really curious what they're doing. I would ask them, So like if I meet this composer that I have no idea what kind of stuff he's doing, but it sounds good, I would ask him.
Because you have to use your fingers a lot on the strings, do you have to do any kind of special exercise so that your fingers can keep moving quite rapidly in the way that you would want to play?
Not really. If you have been practicing an instrument, playing for years and years, it comes. I'm not particularly a technical player, but I know somebody that are very, very, very focused on the technical side, then they probably have to really keep their routine very strict. But for me, it's more about ideas, playing ideas and trying to let my idea go first and then play my ideas in my mind instead of the other way around,
What does that mean, that you play the ideas?
Well, that means I'm trying to be able to sing something before I play it. If I don't hear anything, then I try not to play it, because it's very dangerous for me to play what I practice. Because through practice, sometimes you find out something that works and you try to use it again and again. And almost every time when you do that, it won't work in the musical context for people. And it just, you listen back, you're going to absolutely hate it. It just sounds like something that, it's like if you meet a guy and he made the joke and then he would say the joke in the wrong situation and it won't work. This is the same thing, So I try not to rely on my previous experience too much.
So when you're playing, it's all what?
I mean, I'm not saying that I'm very good at it, but what I'm trying to do is just be in the moment and hear what the music needs and then listen to the whole ensemble and play what I feel is needed at that moment. And hopefully I'm not just playing by myself, you know what I mean?
I've heard a lot of musicians and performers all talk about being in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? You know, you have actually philosophers and all these gurus teaching people about being in the moment, which is more an ideal than a reality because the brain has its own capacity to just run by itself without you controlling it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to be in the moment?
You try to do it. I mean, it's something that you would never feel you get it, but that's part of the interesting part about it. But the idea is to really trying to focus on listening to everything as if you are not playing, as if you are watching yourself play, but as if you're an audience and you ask yourself what you want to hear next, and you try to play what you want to hear next.
And all that happens very rapidly, I suppose, right? Because you're watching yourself and you're at the same time playing and then informing yourself what you need to play.
Yeah, but I mean, if you keep trying, it will get easier. It will get easier to a point that you feel like you're just like a vessel. You just let music go through you and not so much of a conscious... Because if you go through all your brain and you think about what is good and usually...
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work that way, for art at least, you know. If you're just trying to pay attention and listen, as open your ears up as much as you can. And I think that usually music comes...
You have to be open.
Yeah, you have to be open.
No training... It's not something you can train to be open?
I wouldn't say train, but it would be... you have to keep trying on the bandstand. I think this is something that is more like a concept thing. And every time you go on the bandstand, you try to open as much as you can, open up as much as you can. And one really good thing to do is record yourself and listen back. You know, how many times I would play something and I enjoyed it so much, I think it sounded good, and listen back, it didn't sound good, right? And part of it is performing a lot, and you try to listen back a lot and just to get that sense that, see if you can feel the same way when you're playing and after you listen back, you know? So that gap, if you can minimize that, then you are really listening when you're playing.
How would you describe your style as a guitarist?
Because I started playing on piano, you know, like it or not, I mean, at the time, but I was a kid, so I was exposed to classical music, and I enjoyed it to some part, but I didn't enjoy the practicing part. But anyway, I mean, who does as a kid? But the interesting thing is I feel like a lot of the repertoire that I play actually end up being part of the music that I hear, you know, a lot of the way the classical music resolves. You know, I play a lot of Chopin and you know, a lot of sonatas from Mozart and Beethoven, and certain harmonies and the way harmonies function, I think it kind of get inside me and it kind of reflect, and or it helped me afterwards, you know, when I am learning music, basically. So it's more like a natural thing that I hear that and I analyze what that was, you know.
You have kind of described what you are influenced by. But if somebody were to write about you, what would they use to describe you? How would they describe your music as it comes from you?
Well,
strong melodies?
I hope that would be. I mean, that's my goal. I would hope that someone would think my music is melodic, obviously, and come from the soul, I hope, and not so much of intelligent music. I do write some music that is slightly complex in terms of rhythm or ideas, but I hope that's not the first thing they hear, you know, but, you know, that's my goal.
To be melodic.
Yeah, to be melodic and as direct as possible.
I'm talking to Trevor Cheung, jazz guitarist. He's no stranger to the Malaysian jazz scene and has been here, well, more than 10 times, he tells me, recently at the Johor Jazz Festival. Coming up, we'll get him to talk about the jazz guitar, but we'll still talk about him because he hasn't told us everything about himself yet. This is Front Row. This is Front Row, the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Thank you. You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng speaking with jazz guitarist Trevor Cheung. You've been here many times, as you have said. How would you describe the jazz scene here?
I think it's very, especially Kuala Lumpur, I think it has a lot of energy going on in as an Asian city. Some of my favorite cities to play would be Singapore, KL, Shanghai, and Tokyo, because there are a lot of good musicians around. And I think KL is one of the, you know, strongest city for music in terms of the levels in Asia, you know.
You would consider the levels here high?
Yeah, in Asia, yeah. I mean, of course, I mean, I live in New York City and there's nothing quite like that, I mean, obviously. But when I travel in Asia, I think KL is great.
Do you think that there is a jazz sound that we can describe as Asian jazz?
Well, to me, what I think is if you grew up in a certain place in the world with the traditional music, you know, so be African music, so be Brazilian music, or this part of the world would be, you know, there'll be Chinese music, there'll be Japanese music, gamelan, and all that. If you're exposed to the music when you grew up, it's going to stay with you. Maybe even if you play jazz, and that will reflect in your music eventually.
Will it be reflected to the point that you say, I hear the gamelan influence, or I hear the Chinese music influence? Because some people have very clearly chosen Chinese songs and then played with traditional jazz instruments, you know, your piano and your guitar and all that. Does that of itself make that jazz music Asian?
Well, that's one way to do it, obviously. If you find Chinese repertoire and play it in the jazz setting, then obviously it's going to have the Chinese influence. But what I'm saying is, even if you're just playing straight up Western repertoire, but if you grew up in your culture, you know, there should be a little bit of it at least.
You were born in Hong Kong.
I was born in Hong Kong.
Yeah. How old were you when you left to go overseas to study?
I was 19 or 18 or something like
that. Okay, so you were, some of your formative years were in Hong Kong. What about your music has this Hong Kong flavor to it?
Well, you know, Hong Kong is an interesting city. I mean, it really has its own thing, which is like a mix of a lot of cultures. I mean, like, I have to be honest, I didn't grow up listening to Chinese music at all. Well, I mean, if you consider Canto Pop, I wouldn't say Canto Pop is the Chinese traditional music, right? But there are a lot of Western music. You will hear classical music and you will hear some sort of jazz. I mean, personally, I don't think I have such a strong Chinese roots in my music, to be honest. But that's something I would be interested to, you know, listen to, because it's something that is part of the culture in a way. It was just not emphasized too much in Hong Kong, you know.
People look at you, say you're Chinese, and of course this whole thing about Trevor, born in Hong Kong, now based in New York. Is it important for people to say, yeah, you know, he's from Hong Kong, therefore you listen to his music, there is something about it. Is it important?
I don't know. I mean, I never really thought about it, to be honest. Every day I wake up when I just want to listen to music that I like to listen to. I want to play music that I like to. And hopefully the next gig I get called is something that I like to play and hopefully pays well. But I mean, like, seriously, a lot of times I just focus on what's next. I don't really have...
It's not a conscious thing, uncovering and discovering.
Yeah, I didn't want to be like waking up like, okay, now I need to look for my sound. You know what I mean? That's kind of weird.
That word sound gives us a great segue into talking about the sound of the guitar. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that the guitar traditionally was just an instrument to accompany the other instruments. What changed to allow the guitar to become central in jazz?
Well, guitar is like a relatively new instrument compared to all, you know, violins and piano that has a long history. But I think one of the big breakthrough is the amplification, you know, the invention of amplification. You know, before, when you play guitar, you can't compete with other acoustic instruments because they're way louder than you. So all you can do is maybe strumming. You have to kind of strum or play harder to get...
Because the brass instruments are really loud. Yeah. The piano is kind of loud.
So there's not much of a sensitive touch you can put on because no one can hear it. After the invention of amplification, then all of a sudden I can be as loud as I can. I mean, guitar can be...
Can drown everybody.
You know, you can control your dynamics. So all of a sudden, you opens up the whole world of new playing style. So you can actually play single notes and can be heard. So all of a sudden, guitar could be a horn instrument in a way, you know? But at the same time, you can still play chords. So it kind of has so much versatility in it.
Because of amplification, the guitar can play the line that's normally carried by the horn.
In a way, yeah, yeah. You can pick, you can actually play horn-like kind of line and be heard.
Give me a demo.
Okay. You know, it's so saxophone line, you know, before it was Charlie Parker, you know, bebop. But all of a sudden, you can actually do that in, on the guitar and be heard, I think. I mean, you can do it before, but you can only hear it yourself in your own bathroom. So no one will actually do it because it's not practical. But after that...
So does that mean that, you know, with amplification, the violin really can now have a greater role also in jazz music? Because for the most part, except when they're part of a larger group and you have several strings playing together, now you can have a soloist on the violin that's amplified. And
I mean,
then, yeah?
Yeah, there are violins that does that, you know. But just in general, violin has such a long tradition and it's not as easy to do something new and... Because there will be so much history behind you that you have so much...
legacy, the burden of legacy.
Right, it's kind of almost like there's a pressure for you to actually follow the history. It could be good and bad, but I mean, there's a lot of violinists would actually explore new options with amplification and everything too. But I think guitar has an advantage because it's such a new instrument. You can do whatever you want to do with it and no one would judge you basically because, you know, what can you say? At that time, I mean...
How has guitar playing in jazz evolved since the introduction of the electric guitar?
Back then, you'll be a lot of strumming, like Freddie Green style, you know, the chung 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 kind of style, you know. You know, that kind of sound you would hear in a Count Basie band, and that was the role for the guitar, you know.
Accompanist.
And almost like a percussive instrument that can play chord. That's kind of the role of the guitar. Like Freddie Green would be doing this for his whole life. It's still fun, I mean, in a way. I mean, but after that, Charlie Christian, you have a lot of guitarists that comes up because all of a sudden you so much room you can explore, you know, like Wes Montgomery and, you know, a lot of them. They will explore, like, possibilities playing single note as if they are horn players. And then at the same time, they would still find out new harmonies and stuff. So it kind of has both sides, the piano side and the horn side in a way. So it's kind of pretty interesting. And another breakthrough is, like, I think back then... Even when there were amplification invented, but there were no, you know, but the texture, the tone is still very dry. I mean, there's no reverb. So that kind of reflects in the way the older guys play. They tend to articulate harder because the tone of the instrument is pretty dry. I mean, if you have a violin, you can hear the room sound, the reverb sound, but guitar, it would sound very dry. So it kind of makes them play in a certain way. But after that, so many more like reverbs can be used, or the all kinds of effect.
Even in the classification of electric guitars, you have your hollow body, and yours is a
semi hollow body,
and then you have a solid body.
Yeah.
Are they different in terms of what you can do with them?
It's more like the tone of the instrument sounds different because when you get a hollow body, it kind of has more of the acoustic sound because you have the sound hole in it. And semi-hollow is halfway, so you is somewhere in between a solid. I mean, it depends on what wood and, you know, how the guitar is built and all that. Everything matters. But in general, like, hollow body has a more acoustic sound.
More mellow also?
Warmer sound, I would say.
Yeah,
warmer,
okay.
Sound. And solid body, you can actually play with more overdrive, that kind of thing, easier. So you would see more, like, rock players or fusion players, they tend to use solid body. Players that like to play with very clean tone, they may tend to use semi-hollow or hollow body.
Your choice of this semi-hollow is because you think it has a clearer tone?
Clearer tone. Yeah, I like playing clean tone. I also use overdrive sometimes, so semi-hollow is a good way to kind of go both ways. But I think my semi-hollow is more, the tone is more towards the hollow body sound, so that's why I like it. And one other good practical reason is semi-hollow is easier to carry than hollow body. I mean, I fly around a lot.
Because it's bigger. The hollow body is slightly thicker.
Yes, because of that, then I need a bigger case, and then the bigger case to protect it. And then everything gets heavier, and all of a sudden, I'm already have a back pain before the gig. Seriously. And then you have to check in your guitar on airplane and hope that they don't break it.
When you play and you are improvising... What exactly are you doing? The piano player improvises more often than not. We hear the melody,
mm-hmm,
variations on the theme. But when we hear the guitar, what do we hear?
Still, I would like to think it's melody because it shouldn't be different just because I'm playing guitar instead of piano. But I have to say, a lot of guitarists tend to play something more like a a lick kind of bass, because the nature of the instrument is very easy to play with your muscle memory, I would say, because the guitar is like you can play something and you can move the fret up and you're in different key. I mean, piano, you have to relearn in 12 keys. So for the guitar, you can play. You can play. It was just one idea. But I mean, I'm saying like it's very easy for guitarists to remember a line and play it all keys. So a lot of guitar players, they would try to go for like a shortcut and remember lines and just play them.
And you just shift keys.
Yeah, but I don't think that's really the whole fun about playing jazz. I mean, it really should be the same. You should be able to sing a melody before you play it and that kind of thing. But so, I mean, that's something I'm more into.
So one expression that I heard is blowing. When you're playing and you're improvising, is blowing.
It's just a slang, you know, just like blowing lines, you know. Just yeah, basically means you're improvising lines, blowing. That's like a slang.
Do you blow a melody also? Can you kind of improvise?
Yeah.
Yeah, you blow on
a... I mean, blow is like horn player, you know? They actually have to put air into the instrument. So that's why it's blowing.
So the language from horn players have also seeped into guitar players.
Yeah. Yes. It's just a slang like saying, like, let's blow some lines, like, you know.
See, with classical music, when you go to a performance by an orchestra, everybody learns their part and then, you know, you play and the conductor brings you all together. I'm not sure where improvisation plays, but in jazz, my understanding is that the improvisation becomes quite important.
Yeah. A lot of times we would just like play the melody of the song. It may be like 40 seconds. And then after that, it's all
improvisation.
It's all improvised. And then we play the melody again to end the song. So that's usually a lot of times how we end. I mean, of course, you have different situations. Like if you play in the big band, there will be more written materials. You may have a melody, another chorus of written solely, sometimes we call it. And then, you know, you have a shell chorus, and then maybe in the middle, there will be some improvising. So it depends on the context, on the piece and stuff.
So who cues you guys in as to when the improvisation begin?
You would know after the melody, because the melody finished and then you start over
like
in the top.
Who starts?
You look at each other. Seriously.
In other words, if I go tonight, I could listen to a piece that you might be the first one, but if I go to another night, you might be the second or third person.
Totally. Yeah. After the melody, sometimes if you really feel like it, you jump in and play, and then people will let you play. Or maybe they try to maybe
compete
both jump.
With you as a look.
Nah, not so much. I mean, but I mean, sometimes no one start and then someone, at the end, someone start. But I mean, like, sometimes you can actually decide who take a solo first, but a lot of times we just kind of let it.
You look at each other, and just say, okay.
Just like, if I don't feel like it, then I'm going to step back. You know, step back for a second. You can tell by the gesture. There's a lot of things you can feel without saying, hey, you first. No, you know, there's a lot of gesture you can do, you know, after you play for years.
And improvisation is important.
It's very important for me because I just like the way improvising is, you know, just being in the moment that actually I don't have to think much at that moment and just let music comes out. And I think it's like very calm in a way, you know. It's a state you want to reach to the point that, you know, you learn about yourself and you know, it's that kind of thing. I mean, it's kind of spiritual in a way.
No, because every time I go listen to jazz players perform, it reminds me of a short story, mm-hmm. and this is called Charlie's Blues. And it talks about how when Charlie plays the piano and then he pulls back on that, or that the trumpeter would take over. And in many ways, the language of it is described in such a way that it is a very spiritual thing to be playing jazz and improvising. So when you use the word spiritual, I'm not shocked by it. I've listened to music that moves me, and maybe that's the sharing of the spirituality between the musician and the listener.
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's a certain depth into playing improvised music that when it's good, you can really feel something in it because it comes really from inside you. So you can feel that energy inside someone if they really are honest to what they do.
And you strive to be honest?
Yeah. That's what I try to do. I mean, what's the point if I'm not, you know, I'll do some other job.
You're playing tonight?
Yes.
At No Black Tie?
Yes.
What time does it start?
Around nine, and I'll be playing with E. Jinx Trio, organ trio, a very good friend of mine, great, great organ player in KL.
Trevor Cheong, jazz guitarist, who started out as, and I quote, a one-time child prodigy on the piano. In 2004, he received his Bachelor of Jazz Studies from the University of North Texas. When will you be back in KL after this trip?
Actually, no plan yet.
No
hopefully
plans
soon.
Yet. Well, you were here the last 2 years, and so we can expect you to be here at least every year.
I hope so. I love the food here.
That's what a lot of people say.
Yes, and that's true.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.